Hi guys, this is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place where you can be taught the truth and encouraged in your relationship with Him. If you find this podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. You'll find a few different kinds of material on the podcast. Most episodes will be teachings that have been recorded in many different settings, including discipleship classes, missionary training schools, Bible schools, and church conferences. You'll also find episodes where Stephanie and I talk about practical life topics and invite you to listen to our own process and perspectives on how we experience Jesus on a daily basis in every area of our lives. We also have some episodes that include interviews with special guests who will share from their own experiences with the Lord. Altogether, we believe this podcast will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and that you will be strengthened in your own relationship with Jesus. Hello, guys. Welcome back to Equippers International Podcast. Today, we have another special guest on the show. Somebody that I'm very excited to introduce you to, somebody that's a very important person in my life, Mr. Jack Horn. Jack, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yep, good. Jack is a, I don't think it's necessarily derogatory to say, but he's an old timer. He's been around a while.
I have been.
So Jack is going to celebrate his 90th birthday in August, and so it's just a privilege for me to have a friend like Jack. I think in a previous episode we had another brother, you remember, Renee Brown, and Jack and Renee. How long you known Renee?
Oh, 40 years at least.
Yeah, long time. A lot longer than most of the people listening to this podcast have been alive. So, Jack, can you just start by just sharing a little bit about you, who you are, maybe kind of a little bit about your journey, not too long, but like professional work, career, ministry, any of that would be exciting to hear.
I retired from TU Electric in 1987, and so I like 1 year working as long as I have been retired. 34 years I worked, immediately went to work with Southwest Ministries. Met Renee and everyone that was connected with Southwest Ministries. I had known them for quite some time before that, before I retired. So I began to work with those ministers, became a member of the board, did administrative work, began to do some teaching, met Renee back when he was still in Big Spring, and after he started going to Africa, we were talking one evening, and we were in Africa, and I told him a story about hearing God. I told him there right after God apprehended me, and found out that you could supposedly that you would be able to hear God. And I told Renee then, I said, you know, I was talking with somebody about hearing God, and I said to them at the time, I'm not sure I want to hear God, because He may want me to go to Africa, and that's the last place I want to go.
Yeah.
And Renee and I were in Africa at that time, so better watch what you don't want because exactly. You might get it.
Exactly right. So Jack was married for 67 years to one beautiful woman, Joyce. She went to be with the Lord almost a year ago now. So Jack is now living alone in his home here down in Whitney, Texas. And I've taken the day out to come be with Jack and just spend some time. And, you know, oh, goodness, I don't know. There's so many things I could say. Maybe I want to just preface our time because I think it will launch us into a little bit of discussion and we'll just see where it goes. You know, one of the things that I'm so grateful for in my life is that God, I don't know why, I do see that it's something that a lot of people don't have the benefit of, but the Lord's given me a couple of older men in my life that have just deeply impacted me and in ways that they'll never know and don't need to know this side of heaven. But Jack is the kind of guy that is, he provides a space and a place for me that for guys like me is very necessary. And that's what I call a safe place where Renee and Jack and I, all three do this for one another. We joke, you know, you need, if you're a serious student of the Word and really have a heart to know God more, there has to be a space in your life where you've got some other people that can listen to your crazy thoughts and sometimes just tell you that you're way off base and just actually just say you're a heretic and still love you, or, you know, can affirm some things that you're seeing and help you not to feel like you're going crazy. So that's what Jack primarily is to me, other than just a good friend and somebody that I just really appreciate. So with that in mind, you know, Jack and I are down here today at his house and we've already dissected a lot of really juicy topics. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe we should have had the podcast on when I first got here. But then I thought, well, no, that may not have been too wise. So I think the first 3 or 4 hours now, we've gotten all the silly stuff out of ourselves. And we still have some things undone, but there'll be other time for that. So, but maybe as we just dive in to something, Jack, maybe I'll just ask you, as an elder in the body of Christ, in the truest sense of the word, you know, not that you would say this is my final goodbye to the church or my final thought for the church, but as you see where the body of Christ is, you've seen the body of Christ for many years now, and you've ministered, you've taught, you've been around a lot of men and women that have really walked with the Lord. You've seen the work of the Lord in lots of different ways and places around the world. What would you say are some of the, or any one thing that is just in your heart that you think is pretty either foundational in this season or something that just is really resonating strongly in your heart and your spirit that you would want to share or just talk around that might benefit a listener that wants to grow and mature? Because that's what this podcast is all about. Helping people engage the Lord in truth and to be able to grow in their walk with Him.
Well, there's so many things that I suppose one of the things that we all need to realize is that the Holy Spirit really is our teacher. And even though the Holy Spirit does use men to teach and encourages men and facilitates men teaching and women, let's not forget the ladies.
Amen.
We need to begin to try to understand that when the Holy Spirit teaches us in some way. Many times it's about something that we were pretty well boxed in to, having been taught for years and years and years about something to where we were beginning to rely on the Bible itself for teaching us, which it does, rather than the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit really does teach us. And to begin to understand the difference between our intellect and the Spirit, it will be the same thing. There won't be any difference in what we are hearing, except we can begin to realize when the Holy Spirit is teaching us, and when it's our intellect that we're maybe hearing some teacher or reading the Bible ourselves or whatever.
Let me come in there. I think it's important, and I love what you just shared, and I do want to just, like I say, I like to unpack a little bit of it for the listener. I just want to read the verse just to put it in context. John chapter 14, 16, "I will ask of the Father," Jesus says, "and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit of truth. Whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him." And then he goes on to say, he will lead you into all truth. Okay, here it is, verse 15. "These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said." So you made a comment. Even when you said it, I thought, wait a minute, the listener's going to struggle with that. You said the Holy Spirit teaches us, not the Bible. And then you went on to explain, which I appreciate. Let's just put that in context. I think so many times, right, what we do is we fall into this, and it becomes a trap, actually. We fall into this place where we allow other people's interpretation of the Bible to teach us, and just the printed ink to teach us, without the Holy Spirit enlightening us, bringing revelation. Because the Holy Spirit will not really teach us anything different than what we're reading. But as you and I both know, you testified this morning when we were sharing earlier, and I've had the same experience back in my days as no derogatory meant here, but as a Baptist boy, just involved in the Word, there was no life. There was no revelation because the Holy Spirit was not teaching me, you know. So I think that's something that needs to be clarified. And so how do we do that? How do we bring ourselves, or can we? How do we, you know, I like what you said also this morning, and I'm off on a different topic now, but it's all the Christian life really is it is Christ in us, the Spirit in us, but it's also us doing it. So it's almost like a conundrum that we're in. So how do we get ourselves in a place where Holy Spirit is, where, I mean, he's always teaching, right?
Yes.
Are we listening? How do we develop that posture?
You know, one of the things that that I've learned over the years is instead of sitting down and reading, setting a goal for myself to read the Bible for a certain period of time, or to read so many chapters, or spend some time reading the Scripture. One of the things that I've learned over the years is to sit and think about the scriptures that I know about, and some of the things that that the Spirit is quickening me about, and I'm not realizing that it's the Spirit doing it. And then all of a sudden I begin to realize, well, where did that come from?
Right.
Once you get on that on that thought, you begin to appreciate some of the things that that you've read dozens of times, probably, like Proverbs 1, where it talks about meditating, and one of the things that meditation is just thinking about the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you do that, the more meditation you do, you actually are meditating and not realizing it. Because you're just thinking, and that's basically what meditation is.
Right.
And so when you begin to do that, you become aware that the Spirit really is teaching you.
Yes.
And once you come to that realization, he does it in all kinds of ways.
That's right.
I remember one time in particular, I was flipping through the television, watching television channels, and I came across a television show that I watched for just a couple of minutes, that where a couple were just living together. And I turned it off. And I heard the scripture, the Holy Spirit say, well, you know what I've taught you about marriage. And that made me realize something. In order for light to come out of darkness, you have to see the darkness for the light to be able to come out of. You have to have something to compare with before you can hear what the Spirit is saying to you about whatever.
Yeah.
And comparing, Cliff and I talked about some of the dark things that we were exposed to and exposed others to, really.
Yeah.
And taught some of those things, and we didn't know they were dark.
Yeah.
we thought they were truth.
Mm.
Well, actually they were part truth.
Yeah.
But you have to see it. You really have to have something to compare with. It's like anything else. Until you see the darkness, how can the light come out of it?
Right. That's right. That's good. So I always like to facilitate these times, because inevitably what happens is when we have special guests, I never come with a topic. And what happens, I believe, during that time is, as we talk about the Lord, He begins to teach us. So I always like to help the listener that might listen to this episode, and I just kind of try to listen as the facilitator, and the guest is going to bring his insights and experiences, and then I try to take us along the way and then summarize. And so the role of the Holy Spirit to teach us is critical. It's essential. It must happen, right? What else? Anything else that stands out in your heart for people?
Well, another thing about seeing two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of darkness, or the kingdom of this world, where the God of this world is in charge of.
That's right. I know you like to teach on the kingdoms.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we have to understand that we are being impacted every day by the kingdom of this world, where the God of this world is in charge of it.
Right.
We see the evil. That's pretty easy to see. But we have to be able to see the darkness or see the kingdom of this world in order to see the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of His dear Son, the Scripture says.
Amen.
Because we have to have something to compare.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to say that any better, but it's very, very essential that we're able to recognize that. And here we've got a problem, because in our natural being, we inherited something from Adam. We inherited the wrong tree.
Yes.
And
the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so our natural ability is to live our life independent of God by figuring on our own what is good and what is evil.
Power of reason.
Right.
Yeah.
When God, as always, He never intended to keep the things that are good and the things that are evil from us. When He told Adam not to eat of it, He didn't intend for it to be a secret. But what He intended was for us to depend on Him to tell us what was good and what was evil.
That's so good. Sure, this is really good. Now, let's unpack some of this. So, you made a statement right from the get-go about the two kingdoms, and you made some statement along this line that we need to realize the impact that the kingdom of this world, the God of this age, Satan, has on us. Now, I think I just started picturing lots of different things about that in regards to most Christians. Now, we never like to generalize, because we know that we can't just stereotype everybody into a pigeonhole. But in my experience, you have different things that happen. One, a lot of true believers want to go through life thinking they just kind of operate in the neutral zone. There is no neutral zone, right?
Right.
If we're not pursuing, holding ourselves in the things of the Spirit, choosing the kingdom, however that, you know, we can talk about practicalities, you are being impacted by the kingdom of this age. And it's real. Okay? Likewise, on the other side, a lot of people just go through their Christian experience all wrapped up in the kingdom of this age, and they they don't even realize that they're being conformed to it. Right?
Right.
And Paul says, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind, not being conformed to this world. Right? So there's just lots of different dynamics. I don't know, maybe you can talk about more about the kingdom and about some practicalities. I don't know. There's just, I think the Lord wants us to focus a little on this a little bit because I think it will help the listener.
Well, the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God is, it's all about living our life on who we depend on.
That's good, yeah.
It's, are we depending on the Holy Spirit? Are we depending on God to live our lives through us, by us?
Mm.
Or are we depending on our intellect and living our life independent of God by figuring out on our own what's good and what's evil?
Yeah. It reminds me, you know, some people I know, I read a lot. We like to read theology or whatever. Men who've studied, women who've written, you know, some people define the kingdom of like where the reign of Jesus is, there's the kingdom. But, you know, that sounds good. But well, I love what you're saying because it brings it really down practically. How does Jesus reign in any given place, whether it's our own home, in our families, in our workplace, among our peers? How does Jesus reign? He reigns where individual people choose to depend on him instead of depending on themselves, right?
That's right.
You surrender and you allow the Holy Spirit, the life of Christ in us, to take control. And that's how the kingdom comes. That's how his will is done.
That's right. That's exactly right. It's the scripture you quoted a few minutes ago from Romans 12. Romans 12, 1, what it says, I'm going to paraphrase, it says, quit being conformed by the kingdom of this world.
Right.
And be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how is your mind being renewed? In many, many, many cases, it's just changing your mind about who you're going to depend on.
Right.
That's called repentance.
Mm-hmm.
When you change your mind,
mm-hmm.
you repent.
That's right.
And so that's what it requires. It requires mm-hmm. us to change our mind
mm-hmm.
and quit being conformed, because we have been conformed by this world.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have been conformed by religion.
That's right.
And when you hear the same thing over and over again for 25 years, you're pretty solid in that.
Yeah.
And it's pretty difficult to change your mind.
Right.
About whatever.
Right. That's right. It's funny, even as you're talking, I'm thinking about how the first topic, the Holy Spirit teaching us, and now this topic, they almost work hand in glove, because the Holy Spirit is busy teaching us, revealing things to us. I mean, I just like to be very practical. Like, I'm going along in life, and I'm functioning maybe in my relationship with my wife, or the way I'm interacting with my children, or the way I'm thinking about a certain situation in my life, and I'm looking at the external sources, be it the economy, the government, the what, or there's just a thousand different ways it manifests, and I'm going along, and I'm not, the Holy Spirit comes to me and reveals to me that I'm not doing this right. I'm not, whether I'm not thinking right, I don't have the right perspective, and then I have to say, oh, because it's that awakening moment, the revelation of, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Could be while I'm reading the scripture. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just the impression. It obviously is going to be based on truth because he's a spirit of truth. But then I need to go, oh, man, I don't want to think that way anymore. I want to depend on the Lord.
Yeah.
And he's bringing us that deeper place of, okay, Jesus, I trust you in that place. And then your kingdom can come. And that's just the expression of who he is. His nature, his thoughts, his mind, his will, his way. And it changes us.
That's right.
Yeah.
It just changes the way we think. And whenever we realize that we don't think that way anymore, we see the results of repentance.
Amen.
And we can, I know my, personally, when God apprehended me at age 41, and I had, gone to a church building all my life and taught Sunday school, probably been part of the board of directors and all of that other good stuff. But I was lost as a goose. But I was happy because I was religious. When I realized what had happened to me for all those years, I became angry.
Yeah.
And I called it righteous anger.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether that's the truth or not, but yeah. it was because of the wrong thinking that, and what that did, it transformed into my relationship with the men who worked for me, and it also changed the relationship with those men, it changed the relationship with my wife and children. I know. My two youngest kids, my son and my youngest daughter were talking one time about the Lord, and Diane asked David, "Well, what caused you to want to accept Jesus?" And he said, "Well, Dad did." And she said, "Me too."
Wow.
And it was because of the change that came about in my life from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the repentance that took place, that I actually didn't call it repentance, but that's what it was. I changed my mind about all kinds of relationships. But
sure.
So
that's so good. So really what I hear in that is that your kids were not saying, "I chose to follow the Lord because Mom and Dad took us to church."
Yeah.
They saw your life.
Yeah.
They saw you were a changed man, and they thought, "Man, if my dad can experience that, I want that too." You know?
Yeah, that's what happened. We started a Bible study in our home for those two kids.
Mm.
Our oldest daughter was already married and away from home.
Mm.
And those two younger ones caused their older sister to receive the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And so I didn't have anything to do with it as far as pressure or
right.
Matter of fact, I'm purposed not to pressure them at all.
That's right.
About the things of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not sure the value of that particular idea, but it was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That guided them into the receiving of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I affirm that value, and it's been not because of you, but because of the Lord leading my wife and I, Stephanie, in the raising of our children. You know, we adopted that very philosophy. And we thought, you know, we're not, if we're going to err, and I know to some of the listeners now this is crazy, but my only exhortation would be to listen and to test the Lord in this. If you've raised children in your own way, and see if you're getting ready to raise children, you'll find out that we just said if we're going to err in any direction, we're going to err in the direction of not pushing it on our children and not forcing them into a relationship with the Lord. We said, we're going to live our life, we're going to live Jesus the way we live him in our home, and trust the Lord. And today, all our children are pursuing the Lord with all their hearts in a authentic relationship with him. So, you know, we've always said in one way or the other in different settings, you know, the Holy Spirit is able to do much more than we can do, you know. And that's really what it comes down to, is do we trust him in these areas, not just with our children, but in our lives and everybody's life. He's the one who's doing it. And he's able.
Well, it's once we begin to depend on the Holy Spirit, he will guide us into many, many different doctrines that we've all known about, church doctrines, and we'll begin to cause those to be real in our lives.
Mm.
And one of the things that that we've Renee and Cliff and I battled each other for 3, 4, 5, 6 days at a time.
Mm.
And that's all we would talk about would be the grace of God.
Amen.
And we struggled with the grace of God and learning more about the grace of God and how it wasn't difficult, and how having peace with God, and I'm not talking about hoping that I'm going to make it, hoping that I've paid all my fire insurance where I won't go to hell.
Right.
I'm not talking about that. Mm-hmm. What I'm talking about is knowing that we have peace with God, that God has accepted us totally.
Amen.
That we've been forgiven.
Amen.
And we don't have to worry.
Yes.
Every day. About sin.
Yes.
And that we can know the peace of God. And there's a scripture that says to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling.
Right.
Well, the definition of that particular salvation is having peace and harmony with God. That's our job, is to have peace and harmony with God. That's the salvation that we are trying to achieve. And to have peace and harmony with God. And that's not just partial peace and partial harmony. That's knowing that we really do have peace with God.
Amen.
And that doesn't just happen all at once.
Yeah, that's right.
That's training by the Holy Spirit over and over and over again until that becomes so real to you that you don't even have to think about it. That's just who you are.
Amen. Amen.
You're one with God, and you're at peace with God.
That's right.
And because
that's so good.
The next verse says that when you have peace and harmony with God, for it is God who is at work in you.
That's right.
To will and work His good pleasure.
That's right.
Now, He's working inside of us to work His good pleasure.
Amen.
But we're doing it.
That's
but
right.
He's doing it through us.
Amen.
And He's there all the time working in us to will and work His good pleasure. But we do it.
Yeah.
But it's Him doing it through us.
Yeah.
And just realizing that is a very difficult transition to make.
That's right. That's right.
It doesn't just happen all the time in the beginning.
Right.
You realize it maybe one time in a week or a month.
Yeah.
You do something and you think, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
And, or you say something to someone and you ask that same question, where did that come from?
Mm.
And you realize that God really is in us, that we really do have His Spirit, and that He is working in us.
Mm.
That's what the Scripture says.
Amen.
He's working in us to will and work His good pleasure.
Amen.
And that's the verse after working out your own salvation.
Yeah.
And in fear and trembling.
That's right. That's right. Wow, this is good. Well, we've got to touch on one other topic. And as you guys can tell, you know, sitting around talking to Jack is anything short of deep and meaningful. But I just want to inject the last little topic and talk around it for a minute. It is, to me, one of the greatest topics in all the Christian experience. And it's the idea of being in Christ. I'll take a little sidebar here and just promote myself a little bit. As some of you know, I wrote a book last year. Jack was kind enough to read it a couple of times and give me some feedback. But he said one thing that he did in the book was he was struck by the number of times that I actually said in Christ. And I think he said he got to where he started underlining it. And he's sure it's no short of 100, 150 times that I said it, because it truly is a revelation that really must captivate our hearts. It's something that God wants us to understand and really experience. Can you just comment on the significance of being in Christ and us, Christ in us and us in Christ? Because it's a both and, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So let's just talk some about that.
Well, the first verse in Ephesians 1, the very first thing that it says is that before the foundation of the world, God chose us to be in Christ.
Amen.
So apparently that's pretty important.
Yeah.
That's what God chose us to be in Christ.
Yeah.
And if you go ahead and read the first 12 or 13 verses of Ephesians 1, you will read that it talks about being in Christ 12 or 13 times.
That's right. In Him, in Christ, in the Beloved.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I've circled it in my Bible.
And so that's how important the Holy Spirit thought that was, being in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the Apostle Paul wrote it.
Right.
Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
because he was not taught that by the Pharisees.
No, not
and,
at all.
And in the studying of the Old Covenant, he was not taught any of those
mm-hmm.
things. But it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit of how important it is to realize that we are in Christ. We're no longer in Adam. Our old man has died. Our new man, which is in Christ, has it says, behold, all things are new.
Mm.
And so transferring that original idea that we've all had about being in Adam,
mm.
and that has died. It died mm-hmm. on the cross.
Amen.
With Christ.
That's right.
And it was raised. Sitting at the right hand of God with Christ, and so mm. it says that we are seated with Him in heavenly places.
Amen.
That means that we've been totally accepted.
Yes,
totally accepted.
Mm.
We're seated with Him mm. in eternity.
Right,
and it's so that is a. That is a study that I would recommend everyone to begin to make
mm-hmm.
about what it means to be in Christ, because we are. We are He who attaches Himself to Christ is one spirit with Him.
That's right.
That's a perfect union.
That's right.
The spirit that is in you, which is the Spirit of God,
mm-hmm.
is the same spirit that's in Christ,
mm-hmm.
and it is that union is perfect.
Yeah. So let me read this verse. This is one of the most meaningful verses for me in this regard to this topic. There are many, but this one really, I'll always come back to this one. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Paul says, by His doing, that's God, the His there is God. By God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that, just as it is written, let him who boast in the Lord. So here, God Himself takes us and literally puts us in Christ. Why would He do that? He would do it because He knows that only in Christ can we experience and encounter everything that He intends for us. We can't do it in ourselves. It's impossible. Only by Christ is it accomplished. So He becomes unto us all those things.
Amen.
And, you know, how many times I've taught this and you've taught this and tried to move people. You talk about transferring, you know.
Yeah.
He's transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His marvelous Son. You alluded to that earlier. But there's this transferring in our thinking that has to come to a place. We have to get to this place where we move from this perspective that I'm I'm working, I'm doing, I'm trying to achieve my own righteousness and my own standing before God, and I'm going to church, I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying a lot, I'm witnessing, I'm giving, I'm doing missions, I'm supporting people who do missions. I do everything I'm trying to do because I want to grow up and I want to mature and I want to be better and I want to, you know, be right before God and I want His favor. And that has to shift, right?
Right.
That's all got to go.
It's all got to go.
And it's got to come to the simplicity.
Right. And it's so simple.
It's so simple.
Yeah, there's you don't have to work at it.
No.
It's just something you are.
Yeah.
And realizing you are is a process.
Yeah. That's right.
And it just takes time. And
I remember in our journey over the years, we joke, this is an inside joke, I probably shouldn't say it, but I'll just say it anyway, you know, that we've studied some calculus books. And one of the books we read was by a guy named Norman Grubb. And the title of his book was Yes, I Am. You remember that book?
Yeah, I remember.
And it's that simple. Now, we took issue with some of the things Norman said back in those days. And maybe I still would, or I don't know if I would or wouldn't. I hadn't read it in a long time. But the title of the book just, I think, grabbed all of us. Yes, I am. It's just the simplicity of who we are in Christ and resting in that. And as we rest in it, rest meaning believe it, put our trust in it, God does it. And it works, what's in us works out, right?
Amen.
It's a working out. I talk a lot about inside out versus outside in. We spend a lot of time, Christians spend a lot of time trying to get what they think is outside into themselves. And God's saying, no, I've put it all in you. It's in there in Christ, Christ in you. And now He wants to get it to come out. As we rest in Him and depend on Him, it comes out. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yeah, it is. There's another scripture in Colossians that says behold, I tell you a mystery, a secret. I'm going to reveal a secret to you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. Amen.
And that glory is manifestation of His life.
Yes.
Through you.
Yes.
And that hope, what does it say? That hope is faith, the faith that hope is an assurance.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And
assurance of things hoped for.
Yeah. Assurance of things hoped
that's
for.
Right. That's right.
And so we can be assured that Christ is in us.
Amen.
And that He will be manifested
yes.
through us. By us, but we do it.
That's right. So we picked up on this little phrase. And I say it all the time, and Jack says it, Renee says it. Christ in us, through us, as us.
Amen.
It's Cliff, but it's Christ.
Yeah.
It's Jack, but it's Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Jack, I mean, what can I say? I know everybody that will listen to this podcast will be encouraged. I'm sure it goes without saying, I'm confident that you have heard Jack's heart. You know, the thing that really blesses me and encourages me about walking with these older brothers is to hear the place they're in the Lord after all these years. You know, I wish you could have the privilege of more time with them, because to listen to them, I can promise you at their mid-80s, 90s, they are not bored with Jesus. They are not, and they're not captivated by so many other things that distract. They are centered on the one thing that matters, and it's life-giving because it's Christ. He's the only source. And so Jack, I just want to appreciate you, brother, and say thank you. Thank you for a life well lived, and yeah, you're just a real blessing, and I really appreciate it. So thanks for joining us today, and until next time, be strong, courageous, and press on with Jesus. God bless you.